Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
John Hudson Odom.
Oh, and could you say your title really quick?
Yeah, Peaches and Ain't No Mo.
At Woolly Mammoth Theater in D.C. Now through October 9th. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
All right, so I want to get into the show itself in a second, but before we even get into anything Ain't No Mo related, let's set the stage. Obviously, you know, this is kicking off Woolly Mammoth's fall season, and it's been an insane summer for Woolly Mammoth. We just interviewed, your artistic director a couple months ago, all about the big Tony win with, you know, A Strange Loop started there, or I guess it was the second place it played before it went to Broadway. So speak to that really quick. What's the vibe around Woolly Mammoth in general coming off of, you know, the big Tony win? It has the statue arrive, the Tony statuette arrived. Like, what's the vibe?
I don't know if the statue has arrived, or if it has, I haven't seen it yet. But it's overall just a really joyful time to be at Woolly Mammoth. I think, after the pandemic, everyone was kind of, really just excited to get back into the theater and share in the community space again. I think that Strange Loop was a fantastic way to kind of remind people of Woolly Mammoth's power in DC and the art that it creates and the stories that it hopes to tell. I think it's incredible that a Black queer story has been able to, you know, make a name for itself on Broadway. It's just a huge pleasure to be back at Woolly.
Absolutely. And like you said, it's a good reminder for folks to come check out Woolly Mammoth, which is down there. It's sort of near like the Navy Memorial Penn Quarter area. You're right off of, what is it, D Street? And I can't remember. What's the other cross street? D Street and what?
D Street and in between 5th and 6th.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, everyone head on down. So without further ado, let's talk about Ain't No Mo. All right. So tell me that you play Peaches. Tell me the basic premise here, you know, the airlines, the whole thing.
So basically, it is a mass exodus of all of the Black people in America being sent back to Africa. Peaches is the flight attendant on African Americans. Airlines, and throughout the piece, it's kind of the sister play to George C. Wolfe's Color Museum. So there's a bunch of sketches that kind of, when put together, make this beautiful tapestry. Some of them are comedic in nature, some of them are a little bit more dramatic in nature, but essentially both a celebration and an indictment for the Black community and anyone coming to witness the ride as well. And I play Peaches, who is this larger than life, fabulous flight attendant. Most of my time on stage is spent alone, monologuing on stage, which is sometimes the antithesis of acting, you know, creating scene partners for yourself. But also the audience as my scene partner. That was kind of the missing pieces. We were putting this all together. And now having this the live audience, it's been really incredible. We actually had the opportunity to have a blackout night at Woolly Mammoth this past Friday, in which the entire audience was actually Black. I mean, it was like an old fashioned church service. The Amen Corner doesn't begin to describe kind of the feeling and the energy from the audience. Because I think it's absolutely a story for everyone, but particularly for the Black community, to both uplift our voices, but to also look back and kind of a call to arms to not give up the fight, that there's still a long way for us to go. And in this story, kind of exploring what it is, what home means, being African-American with that hyphen in the middle kind of makes us like the adopted children of America, as I've said, exploring what that is, you know. I think after the Trump elections, there really was the real question of like, is it time to go? Do we need to get out of here? And kind of exploring what that is in this play, what that might look like, the history involved, specifically Black culture in America, Everything that it's done for this country, and what that would mean to have that taken away.
I love how you're describing it as, you know, the hyphen between, you're exploring the hyphen between African American, because that hyphen is a flight path here. It is African American Airlines, and talk about how even the flight number is symbolic, obviously. Isn't it flight 1619? Is that tied to a date or something? You know what I mean? Is there significance to it, I should ask?
there's a lot of significance. 1619 was the year, I believe, that was the first cross for the Atlantic slave trade. The first ship that made its way across the Atlantic. And there's symbolic numbers throughout. There's prisoners in the last scene that each have a date on their uniform, and each of those dates are significant as well.
Very, very, very next level writing, shall we say, by Jordan E. Cooper, where, you know, I always love stuff where, you know, where things mean one thing, but they also can mean two or three things. I love when it's layered like that. And yes, I believe you answered it, but I'm pretty sure 1619 was, what was it? Was that when the first slave ship landed at Jamestown? Is that right? Or in the New World?
In Virginia. Yeah.
Yep, right in our area,
right around the corner. Yeah.
exactly. Well, you said Peaches, your character is larger than life. What makes, go into that a little more, what makes Peaches so larger than life? Describe Peaches' personality.
Peaches, Jordan has kind of described as having the ultimate freedom in the play, kind of representing the queer community, is able to kind of speak her mind, has the most control and power. She's also the gatekeeper, the only one that talks to the powers that be, which are kind of a presence in the play. Represents that queer joy larger than life personality that we all have grown to love, and I will say grown to love, because I think that we still have a long way to go. She is kind of a no-nonsense flight attendant and is kind of keeping everybody in check throughout the play. Not to give too many spoilers, but is kind of left behind at the end of the play, which is, I think, not only Jordan's way of reminding that we still have a hard battle that still needs to be fought ahead of us, but also that we need to reach back. There are difficult conversations to be had about the Black trans community, about the Black queer community. Jordan, this is his first time exploring a queer character in one of his plays. He had said to us that, you know, he was very comfortable being Black in spaces, but being Black and queer in spaces was something that he had not actually yet delved into. And his collaborator on the production that's actually going to Broadway was like, when are you gonna write this this queer character? I'm really looking forward to it. And this was kind of his exploration of that. He's from Atlanta, so Peaches, Georgia, with that New York attitude. Was the only other person to play Peaches, so it was definitely some big heels to step into, but truly a pleasure to be able to kind of step into his world. And it's interesting kind of playing a drag queen starting with text work, you know. Wasn't able to actually fully see Peaches until we started into tech, where you have kind of multiple people. You have the costume designer designing it, the sound and lights, putting it all together, but starting with just the basic, what is the text on the page? And Jordan has done a beautiful job of creating incredible poetry, which was kind of what drew me to the piece in the first place when Maria came to me almost 2 years ago now, actually, in the summer of 2020. She said, there's this incredible piece that we just got the rights to, and there's a part that you have to play. And as soon as I read it, Peaches kind of fit like a glove a little bit. You know, she... I don't know, it's so interesting getting the chance to play a drag queen. Any chance that you have as an actor to kind of transform in that way, and a drag is truly quite the transformation. Really exploring that freedom that Peaches has, not only in the play, but also the hardship and adversity that a character like that actually faces in America, currently right now, and in our past as well. And to kind of bring those stories to light.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it sounds like an exciting role to play. As far as how it's directed by Lillian Brown, as far as how it's, you know, visually staged, take me into that a little bit, because obviously you're on a flight, which, you know, it seemed like it might be hard to recreate on stage kind of thing. How do you stage a plane? Explain visually what it is. Is it sort of like minimalist? Is it like, do we see a plane, or is it more, you know, like people on chairs representing sort of you're sitting on a plane?
A little bit of both. It is minimalist in the sense that like the scene changes and we need to go to kind of happen quickly. And so you have just small representations of places that kind of symbolize the place that we're at. Specifically with Peaches, we're kind of in the terminal, and the set itself kind of looks like an airport terminal that is easily transformed to become an abortion clinic, to become a church, to become a wealthy home. We actually, there was no plane, it wasn't in the script. And then I think it was towards the last couple days of tech, I was walking on the stage and I was like, what's that big ass plane doing back there, guys? And like, oh yeah, we're adding really just kind of the top of the plane for a surprise moment at the end. That I think kind of was kind of a last minute inspiration by the scenic designer. And so now there is actually a hint of a plane. And then of course with the sound effects and different things, I think that you really get the atmosphere of actually being in a terminal.
Great. And then, based on, I want to let our listeners know, based on, you know, at least some photos I've seen of production photos, it is colorful. You know, it's not like a sterile, you know, just in white interior of a plane. There's a lot of colors in Peach's costume, in the backdrop, right? Like, explain sort of, I know we're radio, so it's a little hard, but if you go with your words, like paint a visual picture of like, it is like a vibrant, colorful set too.
Yeah, it's this very like Afrocentric set. Even Peaches herself kind of donning a kente cloth with a little bit of pink. The symbol of the African American Airlines is actually, you know, the symbolic fist with the African colors. And I think they really did a great job of with the, not only the costumes, but the set in itself. Just kind of representing this vibrant vibrant colors, but this vibrant joy that the African American community has brought to America. You also have Miss Bag, who's kind of my one scene partner, really. Besides the invisible passengers that I'm speaking to, you never actually see any of the people that I'm talking to. But Miss Bag kind of representing everything that we've created in this country. So you know, you kind of have the very real items of the stoplight that we created, the gas mask, peanut butter, as well as the symbolic. You know, I have a monologue about Billy Scat and Pox Rap and Oprah's Fat and Whitney's Crack, all of these different things that represent the African community kind of going into this bag to bring with us. And what happens with the bag is, you know, again, at the end of the play, I won't spoil that for anybody. The bag in itself being very Afrocentric, you know, you have the I'm a Man, you have Jordan's jersey on there, Aunt Jemima, and all of this kind of culminating in this very fantastical ending that was definitely the hardest piece of the puzzle for us to crack. I think that until closing, I'm still going to kind of be unpacking, so to speak, what Miss Bag represents in this play, and Peach's relationship to Miss Bag, and the powers that be in the play.
Wow. It seems like there's so much, in a good way, so much going on, like so many layers and, you know, character like Miss Bag and all the imagery you're talking about. It sounds like there's so many layers and symbols going on throughout, you know, in addition to the just regular narrative of the story. Well, cool. It's a play, right? It's not a musical, right?
It is a play. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Definitely music throughout, but no one is singing.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. And then you mentioned your characters, the flight attendant, you mentioned Miss Bag. Who else is on the plane? Like, are there any other characters you want to highlight? Is it a mix of different passengers? Is there anything interesting to note about the pilots? Like, you know what I mean? Like, tell me about who else is on there with you.
The pilot you might know is this man, Barack Obama.
Really? Yeah, I might have heard of him.
Yeah. He
called into our station one time, by the way, as Barry from DC and surprised Tim Kaine when we had a governor on one time.
Oh, wow.
No joke. Before this was he was still president elect, I think. So anyway, go ahead. Well, yeah, we know Barack.
So he is piloting the plane. And actually the first scene, which I believe was written by Jordan. It was one of the first scenes written in the play. Takes place the night of his election, is the death of Brother Right to Complain, starting that, and then kind of evolving into the future of just the joy that we felt when he was elected. The idea that we have that we have made it, we have finally we have a black man in the White House, and you know, from here on out it's going to be smooth sailing, and that scene kind of ends in this culmination of gunshots and news reports, that really it was just kind of the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, and then the play transforms into an abortion clinic. So most of the people are actually in the play, besides Peaches, who's actually in the terminal, are in settings outside of the airport, possibly getting the news for the first time that day. There's also, Jordan kind of talked about that, you know, they had been getting emails all along, but this is the last flight. And the ongoing joke that the black people are always quite late is kind of throughout this piece. That this is the last flight that will seat millions of passengers, piloted by Barack. But there's the ensemble itself, which is there are five others, one male and four other females, who each play, I believe, four or five different characters. So not only is it a kind of a treat to kind of watch the other actors kind of transforming from each scene, but also seeing how each of these different people kind of take the news there's one scene in particular, rather affluent couple of black people who actually don't want to leave the country, who have no desire to leave, if you stay in the country, you will be transmogrified into a white man. And that's kind of the underlying horror, so to speak, of the play. There's a lot of biblical references as well.
A little reverse Get Out there.
A little bit reverse Get Out. Yeah, absolutely. Which there's a scene that kind of has that has the horror. There's the real baby mamas of the South Side, kind of riffing on all of the real housewives stories that this country has grown to love. And then a scene that also, a very powerful scene that takes place in prison of which is the last scene before Peach's final monologue, of these prisoners getting out of jail to be sent back to Africa. And most likely probably the last ones to hear the news. So yeah, it really goes through the entire gamut.
Wow. I mean, it really does sound like a fascinating show. So, I mean, there's no way that our listeners can hear everything you just said in this interview and not want to go see this thing. So everybody, check it out. Again, it's called Ain't No Mo at Woolly Mammoth Theater in DC. It's running now through October 9th. I guess in closing, pretend I'm not even here and you're talking directly to our listeners. Just be like, hey, everyone, come on out to Ain't No Mo. We look forward to seeing you, you know, something like that.
Hey, everybody, please come out and check out Ain't No Mo. I promise you it'll be a wild evening, a neighborhood barbecue, so to speak, full of laughs and conversation starters, possibly even a couple tears shed, and overall just a story that everyone needs to hear right now.
Yep. So get your tickets. Get your boarding pass. This is the final boarding
pass. Get your boarding
pass. Here's your call. Come on.
Nicely done there.
Come to Woolly Mammoth. Not really, but thanks for the courtesy. I appreciate you joining us. It sounds awesome. We'll get out the word and get some people out there. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jason. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Bye.